Welcome to the Jesus 360 podcast, a devotional guide to the names and descriptions of Jesus given to us by the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. Brother Daniel and myself, Blair Phillips, will be co-hosting today's discussion on Jesus, the one who lives forever and ever. And so we are in Revelation chapter 10, verse 6, which I'm going to read verse 5 and 6. And so John is beholding an angel who is doing some very dynamic things. I encourage all of our listeners to go read the whole chapter. But verse 5, the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created the heavens and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, the sea and the things that are in it, that there shall be a delay no longer. And so, Brother Daniel, we focus in onto this phrase of him who lives forever and ever. And we get to focus in on the eternal reality of Jesus. And I think one thing we have to again point out, that this is the first man who has eternal life in his body, and that he didn't have to have eternal life in a body, but he, as the living God, chose to have eternal life in flesh.
So, Blair, I hear you pointing out the fact that he has been eternal because he came from the beginning.
Yes.
However, there's a uniqueness about Christ after he was incarnated, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of truth and grace, according to John chapter 1, verse 14. However, post-resurrection, he did not just return to the state of eternity without a body in the form, in its original form.
He still has his resurrected body.
He took along with him a resurrected body into eternal existence,
which, as the disciples experienced, is still touchable. Can still eat food. We don't know if it's in need of food, but can still eat food.
Yes.
And so he has a real
body. And can walk through walls, I suppose, because he appear in a room that is appear to be enclosed.
Yes.
And so a few other things that seems to be telling us that this is not the normal body, human body that we can imagine. But the focus here is that he's alive forever and ever. Mm-hmm. And the part that you mentioned is he's alive forever ever in his immortal resurrected body. Now, that gives us a contemplation and a model that we as the resurrected saints after 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 are probably going to be in that eternal existence in the same way as Jesus. However, we also know that the saints who have passed away long time ago, since the time of Adam until the second coming of Christ, they are alive in their spirit, as spirit of just men made perfect. According to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 21 to 25, we see that the scriptures say they are the spirit. They don't have a body. Mm-hmm. But after Jesus' return, at 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 onwards, we see that even humanity who has been redeemed now has the same type of immortal body as Jesus and live forever and ever. So, when we come to Jesus, who is the one who lived forever and ever with the resurrected body, we also know we are the one destined to be like him, to be alive forever and ever in him with the resurrected body, so that we can be of one flesh in this eternal covenant between the bride and the bridegroom. And because we know that, we live our life today very, very differently, mm-hmm. because we're not afraid of a certain measure of danger, or a certain measure of persecution, or a certain measure of what seems to be momentary suffering or loss, mm-hmm. because we know we will live forever and ever. Now, this is very true, because in real life, when you meet a lot of young people, all you hear when in a fellowship of young people is, what are you going to do in the future? But when you talk to the retired 80-year-old man and woman in the world, they never talk about what they're going to do in the future. They talk about what they're going to do today. Mm-hmm. What they're going to eat today, what they're going to do today. They never go beyond today. Some of them don't even think about that. And they certainly are not planning for their future. Mm. In the sense of, 10 years from now, I'm going to do this. You almost never hear about that. Mm. you know. And but as a believer in Christ, knowing that we come to the one who is alive forever and ever, we have a different mindset. At a great old age, we should be looking forward beyond the grave. Mm. Because what we do now in our stewardship in Christ, in the way we respond to the grace of God, has a spillover effect to the age to come, mm-hmm. in terms of exceedingly great reward. And you know, and Jesus said the parable of the talent, now you're entrusted with little, you will be given much. And this is not about covetousness or greediness. This is about entrustment of how the Lord can entrust us with what He has given us, the little He has given us in our 70, 80, and 90 year internship, our life on the earth, and how in the age to come, without the limitation of time, how much in the grace of God we can walk out in perfection without the restraint of sin. But the focus on coming to Jesus, who is alive forever and ever, is the fact that Jesus is that Christ, and His government has no end. Mm-hmm. And not only His kingdom has no end, His life has no end. Therefore, there's no need for succession of different monarch or kings to take over His reign. Every kingdom needs to think about the transition of power. One of the devotion will talk about the everlasting kingdom. And the everlasting kingdom exists because there's an everlasting king.
Mm-hmm. And there's no need for a transition of power.
There's no need for transition of power.
Because typically that would happen when the previous king had died.
Yes, and it's always brutal, complicated. That's why living in the United States of America is blessed, because for 200 over years now, there's peaceful transition of power. Usually transition of power involved, you know, in the olden days, it involved murders and fighting, Game of Thrones.
Yeah, for thousands and thousands of years, that was where there was conflict and unrest.
You'd have war.
30, 40, 50 years of peace while someone lived, but then it was at that transition of power that there was competitions between siblings, there was competition between other influences, and that's where everything, the pot would get stirred again as far as conflict.
Yes.
And so,
Jesus is going to be alive forevermore.
Amen.
That's why whatever promise He's making with us in His word, He said, heaven and earth will fade, but my word will remain. It will surpass, it will transcend every created order and universe. Mm. And because He's alive forevermore, we need to think about Him and relate to Him within the context of space-time continuum in terms of redemptive history as He laid out in the Word. But we also need to relate to Him transcending the limitation of space-time continuum. So this is a difficult part. How to relate to the one who lived forever and ever within the constraint of space-time, and how to relate to the same person outside the constraint of space-time.
Mm-hmm.
That is tricky.
Yes.
But we need to think about Him that way, because that's who He is.
Mm-hmm.
He's not bound by just space-time continuum, because He's the one who brought space-time continuum about. He's the one who created this whole reality, and He's actually not completely bound by it, but even though His word uphold all this.
I think just one more point, and it kind of goes along with that before we head into the prayer, that if our audience will read Revelation chapter 10, this angel is saying that there shall be no longer any delay. He's making this great statement, this great oath in this moment, and he's saying there shall no longer be any delay from the seventh trumpet sounding, which is going to usher in the new chapter of existence, because Jesus is going to initiate His return.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the moment of change from our current day into the age to come.
Right.
And so this angel has no other person to make this oath or swear by except Him that was uncreated. I mean, He can't do it by anything that was created, because but only Him who is uncreated can transition.
Who's not bound by the limitation of time.
Can actually transition time.
Yes.
Only the one who's not bound by time can transition.
Because He's like, you know, the other day I was talking to a few people who was trying to design a product with some kind of stipulation, and they're trying to make promises to keep a certain contract for 30, 40 years. And I said that, you know, with the transition of staff in certain organization, in 10 years, some people might change the thing without knowing there's an underlying contract. you better have a time limitation to how you fulfill that obligation. By this date, the contract is no longer valid. It's valid within a certain time frame. Or else in the new generation of people that are working on it, they are not even aware there was a promise made by the previous generation 20 years ago. And then we have a problem. Because yes. Then you breach something. So as the Lord who is alive forever and ever, He's able to keep every promise.
Amen.
And transition us into a non-time-bound reality and a timeless reality where there is no end to time. And because He's there, this is remarkable.
And I'm just going to poke this out there. And thus the one who's not bound by time can help the transfer of power when the Son gives the kingdom of the world to His Father in perfect unity without discord.
Well said, wonderfully said. And one more point. This is not just about cosmic politics or power. This is about love.
Amen.
When 1 Corinthians 13, the scripture says, love never fails. All the other things like prophecy and the gifts and all the exploit, the giving, the one day we'll have no poor to give to. We have no sicknesses to heal, no unsafe people to witness to. But love will still be there. Why? Because covenant relationship, eternal relationship will still be there. As long as there's relationship, love is the bond that gel relationship together. So love never fails. Faith, hope, and love abide in all these three, but the greatest of all is love.
Amen.
Because love cannot be bound by time, because Jesus is alive forevermore, and God is love, and Jesus is the one who so loved the world, and that love has no end.
Amen. Well, Jesus, we want to say thank You that You are the one who lives forever and ever. And because You are the one who lives forever and ever, we are those who will be underneath Your eternal rulership. And that You are the one who is able to transition times effectively and perfectly. And so today, we live in this peace, in this confidence, and in this zeal that You are eternal. And we say thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We want to thank you for joining us for this Jesus 360 podcast. We look forward to you joining us next time as we continue on through the names and descriptions of Jesus in the book of Revelation.
You satisfy my soul. You satisfy my soul. You satisfy my soul with Your love. You satisfy